The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hello, Arrow fans, and welcome to another episode of the Arrow AfterBuzz TV After Show. Today we are covering episode 19, Canary Cry. We have a very special guest with us, and we will see you after the opening.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
For those of you who can hear the opening song behind this, I picked a heartbreaker because we kept talking about Legacy, so we have to have Hamilton. And unfortunately, we have a deceased daughter in this episode, and we all cried, and it was all very sad.
Yeah.
So, we're going to go ahead and get started. I have all of my lovely co-hosts with me. Unfortunately, Ali Kona could not join us tonight. You can follow her on Twitter at BoysandBeauty01. We have Lucretia Lyons. I pronounced that correctly,
yes.
Right?
Yes. Just like Empire. I am part of the Lion Den, but yeah, if you can't spell it, it's LACRETIALYON. Find me on anywhere on the internet, since there is only one.
Yeah. Tari Miller.
Yeah, keeping it with the weird names, I'm Tari J. Miller. You can find me at TARIJAY.
Lex Michael.
That's me. I'm Lex Michael. All over social media at the Lex Michael. People are dead and I'm sad, you guys.
Look, that happens a lot on this show.
Yeah.
I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me on Twitter at Kiaxet. That's K-I-A-X-E-T. We have our hashtag ABTV Arrow. We have the live chat up, so we're checking that. And like I said, we have a very special guest with us today. We have Jimmy Akingbola, who plays Baron Ryder. How are you doing tonight?
I'm so emotional right now.
Overwrought.
I'm overwrought and emotional. But she will rise again.
What we don't usually get to see in the flashbacks on Arrow is the 15 minutes Ryder spends crying over every one of his own men he kills.
Yeah,
he internalizes it quite a bit.
Your sacrifice will be remembered.
You will rise again.
And he actually plays this song, you know.
It's quiet.
Through the magic of time travel, Baron Ryder has a copy of the Hamilton soundtrack on the ice.
5 years before it's ever written.
Yeah. I like to imagine that he wrote it and it was stolen by Lin-Manuel.
When his village was attacked, it was stolen. And also use it for like meditation, you know? Got the little mask and
I like that the arc could be the sadness that he feels, the remorse over killing his own men, and then he meditates through it and he goes, yeah, I did kill them. I did a powerful thing today.
I get the feeling we're going to get the off topic button a lot this episode. So how do we feel about this episode?
I think
that says it all. Just a little bit of radio silence.
It was a good episode. It had a lot of like really sad, touching stuff. Like, Paul Blackthorne kills me every time.
Oh my god, yes.
When he cried with Ollie, I was just like, man, he's a good actor.
Yeah, he's very good. If you think about it, that's like two episodes on a trot now. He's sort of having to go to those depths, you know?
Yeah.
That one when he dropped on the floor, like this episode tonight, you just felt like, man, why can't you have three daughters?
This man has lost a daughter more times than he has daughters.
Yep.
He's had three daughter deaths and only two daughters, and one of them is still alive. It doesn't make sense.
It was absolutely heartbreaking to see him go through effectively the stages of grief, where he was
again. He
breaks down, and then he goes, wait a minute, I live in the DC Comics universe where there are Lazarus pits.
That's the worst kind of trope, Savvy. We see him come back, she keeps coming back, Sarah came back, she'll come back too. Here is her body in the morgue. Take a good hard look. Nope, Lazarus pits. We can do that, right? Nah, they're kind of gone. Yeah. I will find a way!
And it really does. And I mean, look, if you want to expand the scope of the world, yes, we live in the world with the Flash, and we can jump between dimensions, and we can time travel, but I did like that on this show, within the context of the story we're telling over here, we don't have Lazarus pits anymore, so death is as permanent as death is going to get in a universe with time travel and dimension hopping. And I did like that the show took an episode to effectively eulogize the character.
They needed to take this episode and say, she's gone. No, seriously, here's the funeral. The flashbacks are devoted to her. Like, she's gone, you guys. Fandom. That's it. It's just convincing the fans.
But is she gone?
Don't play with my heart, man.
Is she gone? Do you think she's really...
Word of God says yes.
Yeah. But what's cool is, and this is something we have talked about on the show a little bit, they've already talked about how before the end of this season on The Flash, mm-hmm. we're going to see an alternate universe version of Black Canary, and it's still going to be Laurel. I believe it's Black Siren?
Yes.
Yeah,
and so it's great that even though this Laurel Lance may be totally like capital D forever dead, mm-hmm. we still exist in a universe where we can play with different versions of that character every so often, so we can have her still come in and out of the cast.
Yeah.
With the understanding that it's not the same person.
Right.
Because that's another thing that we keep hitting on in The Flash is with Wells, I'm not that guy. We're going to have to deal with that a lot when we get Black Siren. And just, no, seriously, that wasn't me. I don't know you people. The Oliver in my world is super dead.
Yeah. It's good, though. It's good for actors. You get one... Get one of these jobs, guys. You're quiet for the rest of your life.
Get on a CW show and you are set, because even if you get killed off on that CW show, they will bring you into another one.
Yeah. It's Ra's al Ghul, right? Mm-hmm. I haven't watched The Legends yet, but he popped up there.
Yes, because they can time travel, so they can see the Ra's al Ghul from season 3 of Arrow as a slightly younger man who looks the same because of Lazarus Pitts.
Pretty much.
Love it.
Can show up anywhere in that 900-year span and still have the same Ra's al Ghul. Like, all right, cool, sure.
And speaking of, second time in as many weeks that we got to see Quentin Lance with hair.
Because we saw
that on Legends.
On Legends last week.
I'd like to imagine he shot them on the same day.
It's the wigs. Guys, I don't like wig pieces, really. Let's shoot me out, both of these.
I remember when I first auditioned for the show and I watched the pilot. And Oliver's wig. And you know when you just go like, guys, did not anyone catch it? And the fact that they had to use it through every season, you know. I was on an island and you see him this wig to the side. I'm the wig's name straight is to the side.
And it's so, island hair.
It's true. We allow it. Another universe, island hair.
But I was just like, island hair.
That wig, man. I'm like, come on. Sure, you can look in the sea and just cut it a bit, you know.
With a knife.
Shape it up. A bit, yeah.
Well, they finally, it was, this season was the first season where he doesn't have the flashback hair, which is what we started to call it.
I had a word. I said, if I'm going to be involved, I said, Greg, Mark, look, we've got to cut the wig.
I want to act opposite Stephen Amell, not opposite this wig.
Because that's all I'm going to be, my eyes are going to be up there, it's going to be a problem.
It's going to be, yeah.
Does Chad have anything fun to say? I know they're like a minute and a half behind us.
Yeah, they're basically saying RIP flashback wig.
Guys,
pieces. Just in pieces. It was used for three other wigs.
I'm thinking Baron should have had a flashback wig, like an afro or something like that, you know? Or Jericho, a bit like, you know, coming to America, you know, Mr. Queen, and he'd flick his hair and he'd get in his eyes or something like that.
I'm imagining you in the Oliver Queen flashback wig with the blonde haystack.
Listen, man, I'm versatile. I can do that, you know. I can do it.
I would watch that TV program. All right, we should you know, let's knock the flashbacks out. Let's start with that, because they're tying the episode together in this one, in these emotional bits. We actually start with a flashback. We start with Tommy's funeral, which took me a while to pull that name out of the ether. We haven't heard from him in a while.
We've asked each other on this panel a few times, the past several weeks even. Does anyone remember Tommy?
He was the best looking person on the show.
Didn't he go to another CW show?
He went to Chicago Med on NBC.
Okay. The CW let go of
him. Yeah, I know.
That's weird.
I just feel like, remember our buddy that we all knew and loved, whose dad also died and is still giving us grief every week? Why don't we talk about that guy?
Tommy's like the only person who hasn't ever come back from the dead.
Yeah.
Like, he's just, we never did a Lazarus pit,
And he didn't have any powers, or, like, he didn't train or nothing?
No. No. Just a guy. So just a dead guy.
Just he's an angry actor. I'm not mad. I mean, he's like, why didn't he didn't give me no fighting moves, no special name, or no mask, no voice or anything, you know? It's sort of, I'd be really upset.
This was before it was a power series. Ooh. That happened, like, middle of season two.
True. Yeah.
I mean, he was in some great flashbacks, though, when they almost crossed over.
That's true.
So that was good. And then again, I was like, I would have been to the writers. Can we explore that a bit more? You
know? Tommy had the same powers as Batman. Money.
Oh, I love that.
There you go.
And it's just a matter of how you apply it.
I take it all back. That's the biggest, power.
Hey, Flash, on Earth 2, maybe Tommy is Batman? You know, just write that guy. Tari said it.
Why not?
I would watch that TV program. I would be down.
Because Colin Donnell, oh man, that a fantastic looking individual.
But we have, I could talk about him all day long, but we have a lot to cover and not a lot of time in which to do it. Exactly.
You're in your own way, should I? Yeah.
So I'm just imagining him in Batman with the nipples.
Schumacher.
I think you're imagining him in the wrong Batman.
But
anyway, we have these really good flashbacks going through and tying the episode together, talking about Laurel wanting to save the world, and this being way before she knew what Oliver was doing, way before the Black Canary was ever a thing. Just having this really good emotional beat to say, yes, this was this character, yes, it was way back when, but this is still her. This is still the core of who she wants to be. She wants to save the world, whether in the courtroom or on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought that was a really good way to do it.
I think, honestly, not just because I'm part of the show, but Arrow writers, they're just original G's, honestly. Because the way they write the characters and the storylines and they weave things in and together, I just think it's not easy to do, you know? And I think to keep that consistency for 4 years, now five, you know? But stuff like that, I think that's important to point out, you know? And for me, it was nice to have that, almost that full circle, you know, full circle of life, and then she's gone.
Yeah.
You know, she's gone. But I just think they're really clever with their writing, their writers. Yeah. I really do.
And then the actors getting back in that headspace of, where were we 3 seasons ago? God, that was a long time.
Yeah.
Woof.
And just starting off with Tommy's funeral and then paralleling it with Laurel's at the end, and having the parallels between Oliver doesn't believe that he has the right to speak during Tommy's funeral because he failed everything, versus refusing to blame himself for what happened and straight up outing her as the Black Canary.
Yeah.
And doing it in, I think, the smartest way he possibly could have done it.
Yeah.
Like, she told me on her deathbed that she was the Black Canary, like, oh, therefore not implicating yourself? Well done!
No one's going to argue a deathbed.
I have a couple of thoughts about that, because on the one hand, I agree, and it was so emotionally, I think they totally stuck the landing.
Mm-hmm.
And look, it's not like the big bad of the season doesn't already know who all of them are.
Oh, yeah.
My thought would be, though, like, how do you know, like, if anyone nearby hears this, right? It's on her tombstone, so now everybody knows. It's going to be public knowledge. I feel like all anybody really has to do is watch any footage anyone captures of Team Arrow from now on, and they go, hey, wait a minute.
I reckon recognize that chin.
Doesn't that look like... That looks like... And that one looks a little bit like his sister. And that's...
And that's
looks,
his bodyguard.
That's the guy who's always with the... Oh, man. Guys, are you... Do you see?
But no one has really managed to figure it out. And that's the thing. That's the conceit of the series.
Yeah. But also, come on, guys. You know, it's that thing of... You know, actors, you know, people recognize us when we're in our costume, but suddenly you can just walk down the street, you know? But once that one person catches you, you're finished.
Yeah.
You just don't catch their eye. But, I think there is something about sort of, you know, seeing them in all those costumes and, you know, certain masks and face, you know, voices and, you know, maybe they don't recognize them. And are they always together when they're not in their costumes? That's the thing. Are they always sat together?
Yep. If they are, in fairness, if they are, they're usually in an underground bunker. Although, on the other hand, seemingly anybody can walk into the underground bunker.
As long as they find the secret elevator in the back when they've got 102 degree fever, they can just...
But it was actually... Oliver has been publicly outed as the Arrow before, and they had to do a lot of work
to create
a situation where the public went, okay, he's not the Arrow. I feel like that would actually go a long way towards keeping people from going back down that road again.
Especially since our Red Arrow got killed for it.
Right.
Like, and he's back for an episode, and he's gone for an episode. Okay, we're doing this.
I totally thought Roy was going to be the other Black Canary. I think he could pull off the blonde wig.
Every time someone comes back in a costume, it's Roy.
Yeah, it's just Roy.
just the canary cries an octave lower.
Yeah.
Or maybe, because we know that towards the end of the season, they always start building the flashbacks into the present-day storyline. Maybe grabs Black Canary, pulls off the wig, it's Baron Ryder.
Oh! Yeah. Oh, see, I thought you were going to say Jake. Garrick.
I can't say anything about that, honestly. Although I could rock it, I just can't say anything about it.
It's not a blonde wig, you can totally do.
No spoilers.
I wouldn't be down for that.
I'd watch that. Like,
I would watch that TV program too. I feel like we've just come up with the best outtake reel for this season. But speaking of Black Canaries, let's talk about our faux Black Canary that we had here. We had a teenager whose parents were voluntold for Tark's experiment. We're not quite sure. Probably drugged and then suggested because, you know, he doesn't work on the up and up. And her name is...
Just throwing corn at folks. No, that's not her name. No.
Or stalking them.
Yes.
Oh, I get it.
Puns, guys. Puns. Bad now.
I am really good at corny jokes. Anyway.
Another one. That was a bit like that bee episode, right?
Yeah. Oliver Queen is full of bees.
And then you've got bee mics, but anyway.
Yeah, we went to town.
Oh, okay.
To the point where we were getting tired of it, which it takes a lot to do that.
That was quite an evening.
Evelyn Sharp, who is having a terrible time of it, she's a teenager who went missing when her parents died, pretty much wants to take revenge on everyone who could possibly be involved in this, takes out a back alley arms dealer to start with, probably to arm herself, steals Laurel's canary cry, for lack of a better word, sonic color. From our hospital room. And I did like that we had this nice little conversation with Dr. Shores talking about thank you for your discretion, thank you for, you know, not telling the world who we are. Mm. Okay, well, doctor-patient confidentiality.
Who is this hero nurse who is more discreet than any of the working vigilantes in the city?
I feel like she needs to team up with the, I realize it's cross-canon, but the nurse in Daredevil.
Yes.
Yeah.
Seriously, these amazing nurses who are just like, nah, it's okay. I got it. We cool.
That's a spin-off show there.
Yeah, right.
Night Nurse. I watched that TV program.
Yeah, and they deal with all the different superheroes. They're like, oh, God, got stitched up Daredevil one day, Arrow the other day. I think We should write. I think we should write a series. Right?
Deadpool comes in just to be a jerk.
Yeah.
CW would like it because it'd be a lot of shirtless superheroes. You know, always going in the hospital. Oh, I got a flesh wound up here. Oh, and, we got to take your shirt off.
And it's half medical drama and half superheroes. Mm-hmm. So that's two of their biggest draws. And we got the Venn diagram overlap. Okay, guys.
We just created a show.
And
producer credits all of us.
We're going to build bridges because Warner Brothers and Disney are going to sue us all together.
Yeah,
but this Evelyn, is it Evelyn? Yeah, the character. Did you see her when she first appeared in the show tonight?
I caught her, but like I didn't.
Wait. Okay, anybody else? This have this out on live. Did you see her? Do you know the first time you saw her?
No,
I don't think I did. I might have missed it.
It's just me and you.
Yeah,
I feel like I should high five you. Tell them when she came.
She was in the hospital when she like crossed paths with.
That's right. That random person. Yeah.
It looked like
it,
she's real prominent.
It looked like an extra that got in the way. Oh, sorry, Stephen.
I'm like this one extra's at home high fiving all her friends. I made it.
Yeah. Hijacked because it just looked like an extra was like. Hugging the camera or something.
Well, she spends most of the episode blonde. I wasn't even thinking about it.
Yeah.
Because you don't get to see what she really looks like till the end when she's kind of creeping on the funeral in the same way Oliver did Tommy's. Parallelism, you guys. So much of it. So she's basically going around attempting to murder everyone who is involved with Damian Dark, to include Alex, whose name we managed to remember about 30 seconds before she came in screaming it.
Yeah.
And she tries to take out Ruve, and this human being, I'm not sure what to make of Ruve Dark.
I like her.
I like her. Yeah.
What? She's...
She's a terrible human being, but she's so intriguing.
I feel like she has replaced Moira in some ways.
You know? Oh, yeah. She's an...
And she just...
It's very similar to
edge, and yeah, I love that strong...
I do appreciate, even though we know she's linked to a bunch of evil things going on, and it's been very heavily implied that she's one of the higher-ups in this evil plot.
Oh, I think she's higher up on the chain than Damian.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah, but they're the best couple.
What I really enjoy...
Power couple.
Yeah.
What I really enjoy is that the show heavily implies all of that, and yet we mostly just see her being the mayor.
Yeah.
Which really entertains me.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But tonight, she showed elements of... I felt like when she was going to get shot, there was such a there was a confidence she had. You know what I mean? And I feel like that's not just your everyday meh, you know?
Right,
I think she's got other things going on. Maybe season 5. Who knows? I don't know.
You know where we are.
It's like, shut up, CW. Got me. I'm sorry.
They
put alcohol in my drink.
Was that in the camera?
Lucrece is a CW mole.
Yeah. How did you know, Lex?
Well, so the CW has blowguns, Hasbro has anvils hidden in the ceiling. Like, every time I have a guest on one of my shows, they always come on saying, yeah, I'm going to get killed. Like, alright?
Yes.
It's a fun and interesting, it's like an Indiana Jones setup in this studio. As long as you don't say the wrong thing, you're perfectly safe. God help you if you're a Nazi.
Oh.
Yes.
But yeah.
Oh dear. She went there.
Ruve is so cool, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Totally. All right.
Our hashtag on the show is Magic Nazi Bar. This is not the weirdest thing I've ever said on this show. This isn't even close.
Yeah,
sorry.
Remember the thing when she was breaking down how to body decays?
Yeah.
That was a while ago.
Mm. I'm amazed you know that.
Tari
never forgets.
Deep cuts.
Tari never forgets. And you do a lot of really weird Google searching when you're writing a novel, let me tell you. Anyway, we have Evelyn, who is basically on a tear trying to kill everyone. And she is part of the reason, and I thought this was a very smart move on Reve's part, between Evelyn and between Diggle just absolutely losing his noise and being willing to kill her, and would have had Oliver not stopped him, which it took me about 40 seconds after that happened to go, oh dang, that was about to happen. That occurred.
I did really genuinely enjoy... Two things about that scene. One, I thought the emotional stakes were great. I thought it was exactly where it needed to be. Yeah. And I liked that it's Oliver trying to pull his friends back from the darkness now, which is a nice change up I also really like these two grown men growling at each other in the street. I really enjoyed that.
I thought I was going to have a fight, start rolling around in the room.
But did you notice that Ollie's voice modulator just kind of stopped after the first three sentences?
Yeah. I think he did it on purpose to be like, to relate to him as a guy as opposed to being like, I'm still a vigilante, stop it, a vigilante.
Yeah, he's trying to relate to him as Oliver, not as the Green Arrow. Right. And yeah, I just love, I mean, I'm a big fan of David Ramsey anyway, but Diggs' emotional scenes, not just with Reveille, but with Felicity as well. I'm just like, more Dig, please.
Yeah, no, the Dig, I thought that was my favorite scene of his tonight, you know?
It's
very touching.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Yeah.
And I loved the blame waltz.
Yes, and I really appreciate, too, that they actually took the time to acknowledge through Oliver that the reason he blames himself for so much is because it is an answer. It is a way to make sense of something that seems to make none at all, which is, as a human being, you run into so many of those where you need something, any stabilizing thought that you can cling to. And I like to see him actually cop to that in himself.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think, again, that also helps the audience, because we're sitting here going, oh my god, Oliver, not again. Okay, there's a semi-logical reason behind it. Yeah. It's not a good answer, but it's an answer and any port in a storm.
Well, and I really like, too, because it's part of his character that growth for Oliver doesn't really come easily.
Oh, yeah.
So any time that he demonstrates real legitimate reason, like, he said, no, it don't. It does not.
Not at all.
But any time that you see a real moment, and it's usually him connecting with his loved ones, where you really see a moment of, this is not the same guy who came back from the island a few years ago.
Yeah.
And it's great.
It's... Such a good episode, especially with all the emotional beats. Everyone going through, well, I blame myself because this, well, I blame myself because that. I could have been there. I could have done something. I probably shouldn't have trusted my brother. And culminating in the best Felicity line, potentially this season, which I wrote down, you're just one illegitimate child away from a really awesome Oliver Queen impersonation.
Yeah, that was a great line.
Yeah.
And we know that Connor Hawk is his, at least in the future.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah.
But God knows how long in the future, and that was a dystopian future.
Right.
Part of Oliver Queen's flashback wig was his goatee in the future.
No.
Totally. It was split into thirds, and he has a goatee, three goatees, that he switches out depending on the day.
Didn't he have a beard when he was on the island, though, when they found him at the beginning of season one?
I think
he had the full on.
Yeah.
I think he did.
But in the future...
I need the beard, I'm sad.
Yeah.
Good lord. So the result of Diggle's breakdown and Evelyn going nuts all over the city is the reinstatement. Thank you.
Yeah.
Words. We can words tonight.
Bam. Of the human dictionary.
Of the anti-vigilante task force. And they've amped it up like crazy. And arrest warrants out on all of the vigilantes.
Yeah.
Which ends in, arrest that man! Mm. I've seen this movie. Goodbye, everyone.
That was my favorite line tonight. You know, in the way he just went through the scene and bit like, Batman, but not.
Actually, it is, isn't it?
They're very similar.
Yeah.
Normally, Batman is crashing down, but this works.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You're right.
Well, this is just. I must go. My people need me.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. And just watching again, back to Reveille, just her face in that scene where she's like, "I was that close. I almost had you. Not only did you keep me from killing this Black Canary and completely smearing her, but okay, thank you." Yeah, can you get the mic a little closer to your mouth, please?
Okay.
Awesome. Yes, thank you. You will make our booth guy extremely happy with life.
Okay. Sorry.
I liked too, though, this exact scene that you're talking about. The look on her face when Evelyn doesn't shoot her, when she drops the gun, it's almost this smug, like, I knew you didn't have the stones to do it.
Yeah. She had a smile on her face.
I like her a lot. I think she's great. I think she's gonna be causing a lot of damage.
I feel like she's in the middle of a Xanatos gambit and we just haven't seen the end of it yet. Something is going down. Something where all of the pieces are moving perfectly despite the fact that she should not be able to predict them all moving perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just waiting to see what Genesis is. What the corn is going to become.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know what that... Oh, So it's late. I'm so sorry.
I want to know
what they've put whiskey in this.
I want to know what Jimmy's predictions are, you guys. I bet they're right.
I don't know. I don't know.
Jimmy might be dragged out by the CW before we get that.
I'm really like, the drink's poison. League of Assassins.
Man, I didn't think we kept strychnine here. All right, we've hit most of the beats. What else do we want to talk about? Has chat brought up anything fun and interesting? Is there anything that you guys want to bring up? Is there anything that we have missed?
There is one, and we talked about it for about 2 seconds before we went on mic, and it's a very minor thing, but we saw in a lot of ways this came full circle because we saw a number of flash forwards throughout the season, and it all came back. We saw the coffin being lowered in. We saw Oliver and Felicity in the car where Felicity tells him, yeah, you know what you have to do. You have to kill him. And we saw Barry and Oliver at the tombstone.
Barry in!
Yeah.
Bury out!
And so there were some questions. I think at Marvel Movie Fan tweeted at us. Well, he's zooming away from Zoom. Ha,
zooming.
Ha, ha. Gross. He's garricking away, as it were. And he's got his powers when he's leaving the grave. And as we know, currently, over on Flash, he is speedless. So there were some questions about where exactly the funeral takes place on the timeline. And this is certainly not a... Like, we're calling you out, show. This is not that at all. This is just, I'm curious as to when these two events are taking place in relation to each other.
I feel like because Flash had its weird little hiatus at a different time than Arrow had its weird little hiatus, we might be a week off.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because it looks like this coming week is shaping up to be, we're getting the Flash's powers back. Through a hilariously ill-conceived plan, but we're doing it.
Yeah, and total spoiler alert, CW, by the way.
Well, you know, we're not going to end the season with the Flash not being having his power. We have a certain level of status quo we have to go back to.
Right.
For just about any show that they do.
It's going to run like 5 more years, and every episode's going to open with, my name's Barry Allen, I was the fastest man alive. Now I'm a guy who takes the bus.
And it's a slice of life sitcom. They talk about his glory days.
It's pretty much Garden State, but more like Central City.
Occasionally Zoom shows up and kills someone. I've conquered 57 Earths!
And every episode just ends with a close-up on Barry sighing.
Sad Barry is
waiting for his Uber. Waiting for his Uber. Like.
See, I don't think I'd watch that TV program.
That sounds like a bummer.
If everyone around him started getting powers, too.
Oh, my God.
Come on!
Joe's the music meister. He's got song based.
He looks up, Oliver's flying. Hey, Barry!
Yes, that would be great. I did love the little talk that he had with Felicity in the limo, the bit that we'd already seen about, it's not just magic, it's darkness. Every time I go, darkness. We hit that point, and I went, oh my God, show. How did he deliver that straight?
It did it well, too. Yeah. But yeah.
How many takes did that require?
he just kept smiling right into the camera.
Darkness.
With
no.
H.
All right, guys.
Yeah.
Tara's like, peace, I am out.
But I like it because, you know, I think the episode, last week's episode, was the first time that he told the group that he had seen the power before.
Yeah.
Is that right? You know,
I think so.
And then this episode, you could really see that thing of like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. How do I beat Dark? He's almost to the point where Felicity, almost like Lady M, like Lady Macbeth, just slapping him in the face like, no, you're going to do this.
Screwing courage to the sticking place.
But if you saw the hand, it was almost like, look, this is the beginning of them coming together. They didn't touch, but his hand there, I just felt like in terms of how close physically they were, it was almost like at the start of the scene represented how far away they are apart, but then suddenly is this the beginning of them getting back together? Who knows? But
here's hoping.
But I like the fact that you could just see that he was like, I just don't know how to beat this guy. You know?
Scared of
the darkness. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. The writer's a nice guy. He's just misunderstood, you know?
He cries over his soldiers and listens to Hamilton.
Yeah. Exactly.
At some point, Dark is going to pull off his face and it's going to be Ryder.
And then it's going to be Jacob.
Oh, man.
Everyone. Jones, Jay Garrick, you guys, that we're not going to let it die. It's too much fun. But I did like that conversation and him admitting that weakness and saying, we kind of figured it out. I don't...
Yeah. It was weird seeing Felicity so bloodthirsty, though. It was kind of jarring for me in that, like, we're used to really, like, perky Felicity who says the wrong things at the wrong times. And just to have her be this, like, really serious character was... It kind of brought a certain amount of depth to that scene in that, like, we're used to seeing really... brooding, angry Oliver, but to see that side of Felicity really, like, made you feel for that moment.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, wasn't she that way after Sarah died? Died last season. Arrow to the chest. I used to be an adventurer like you, but then, wasn't she like that to an extent?
A little
bit. Not as bad as we saw here, but we have seen that side of her before.
But, like, I feel like this time she was really like, scorched earth, you do what it takes to burn this man down.
I think she was definitely, I think it was a step up. We have seen her in that place, but I think it was a step up. But also, she's been through such a lot. I think it almost, I think she's changed a lot. It's quite nice to see how all the characters have changed, but she's my favorite. I love what she does.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think a big thing, too, that's important to keep in mind is that this time she wasn't there.
Yeah.
She had her own moment where she confessed that she felt some amount of responsibility because she wasn't there and maybe she could have made a difference. So, of course, I think this is hitting home for everybody for very specific personal reasons, even harder than when they lost Sarah.
Yeah, because I think her guilt is what's playing in that scene to her just being like, no, you know what? Screw what I've said before. You know, just kill him. Because, Felicity's no kill rule has to do with people that can be redeemed. Most people can, But Damien Dark, he's an evil magical mastermind who harvests some magic Nazi corn, so there's just nothing there. As cool as he is, but...
Well, and we tried to go the non-murder route by smashing up his idol, and hey, look what happened! Now the girl's dead. So, yeah, obviously, it's the definition of insanity, trying the same thing more than once and expecting it to be different.
Something different happened, yeah.
Yeah. So, that is not a thing that's going to occur. I think that we are starting to run short on time. So, chat, if there's anything we've missed, if there's anything you want us to address, now's the time. And while we're on this little delay, I want to talk to you guys about iTunes. Thank you to everyone who has rated and commented and subscribed. Seriously, you are our livelihood. You are wonderful human beings. You are what keeps our lovely little after show on the air.
It's true.
You tell our producers via those iTunes reviews that you really like us talking about this crazy superhero show, and they let us continue to talk about this crazy superhero show and bring in wonderful people who also like to talk about the show and, are on it.
Yeah, but can we talk about You Got Me On? And I'm not in this week's episode.
I feel so bad. Guys,
I've been in 6 hours, and I'm not even in the episode. I'm like, no, that was Eugene. I that's not me, guys. What's going on? I feel like Samuel Jackson now. Guys, that's not me. I'd love to be back. Yeah. But no, it's great to be on here for the first time, and
thank you for coming.
I'll get me back again. In fact, I want to invite you guys. I'm doing an event at the Chinese Theater. Can I plug that? Am I allowed?
Absolutely.
It's called Monologue Slam UK, Los Angeles. It's a free actor showcase. It's about giving actors a chance to be seen by agents, managers, and casting directors. It's 8 p.m. Tuesday, the 3rd of May, and I would love for you guys to be there if you can make it, or spread the word. And I'm going to be hosting. We'll be hosting it as well, and it's all about inclusivity and helping actors happen, because there's a lot of talk at the moment about actors having to pay for opportunities, which
there have been a lot of discussion publicly about that recently.
So my company from the UK is just trying to do our thing to sort of change that and help people have wonderful opportunities. So please come down if you can.
That's great because you hear a lot of actors that have been established for some time now talk about how they feel genuinely bad for people that are trying to break into it now, because it is so cost prohibitive. typically, just to get seen by people. Yeah. You know, it costs this crazy amount of money just to get your face in front of somebody who might give you a shot. It's so difficult if you don't have this big wealth of money lying around to do that, to create those opportunities for yourself. So that's a really cool
thing. Just cut you out of the loop. Thank you. And it's, what's great as well is that David Rappaport is going to be on the panel.
Nice.
And he's a great champion for talent. You know, you see the interviews he's done in terms of how he found Katie, everybody. You know, he's a big believer in giving people opportunities. So I was like, David, would you like to be a judge? He's like, yes. So that's great. You know, so that's great. Yeah.
So if you were in LA, come down on, was it the 3rd?
3rd of May, yes, 8 p.m. Chinese Theater. And it's called Monologue Slam UK Los Angeles.
And is there a place for people to sign up ahead of time?
Yes, www.thetcn.com. And it's all on that website. Or you can hit me up on Twitter and I'll give you the info.
Do the thing, win the stuff. So, yeah, thank you. That I may have to go myself and be like, hey.
Yeah.
Sounds, I can walk there.
Yes, and thank you for, wow. Train of thought, gone. That was so good.
Did I take you off? I'm so sorry.
I know. Like, what were we talking about?
What were we talking about?
iTunes. I think we were going to read some iTunes reviews.
We were. Do we want to do that, or do we want to really quickly hit this video?
I think we have a couple real short reviews.
Then let's do this.
Yeah, they're super short.
Let's knock them out.
Do it.
All right. So on March 28th, number one Cleveland fan, I'm sorry, said, great podcast, great stuff.
All right.
I agree with both statements.
Yeah. And then on April 13th, it was Sir_SH said, excellent, well-written, humorous, and fun predictions.
Yeah.
I love that you think we're written. We improvised that well, you guys.
Yeah. It's like It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia style, you know?
Yeah. So I think we're going to go ahead and swing into news and gossip. And for this, we have a video.
Yeah, so
TV news.
For which we have been given pretty much zero preamble. We're just going to show it.
Yeah, this is just a wonderful magical artifact.
Lex is the only one who's seen it.
Oh, it's great, you guys.
So start it up. Let's do this.
And welcome to me, Jeff the Chef. As you can see, I've chopped the onions and I've just fried them in a little butter. Once the onions have softened, you add some chopped tomato, salt, pepper, maybe some mixed herbs, and of course, some toy soldiers! Me love the toy soldiers, you know. Make it taste sweet. Two handfuls of grit. A telephone. And don't forget that by telling media. My shoes. Get off me. Don't take me away from my ingredients. They're my only friends.
So this was brought to my attention because Alicona Bradford. Nope, taking that again. Alicona Bradford, who is normally our lead host, found this, brought it to my attention, and I watched it. Jimmy, I told you before we got on mic, I watched it, no kidding, no fewer than 7 times in the first 36 hours that I had seen it.
I need this.
What is this?
Wow, this goes back. This is when I was very, very young, starting out as an actor, and it was a comedy sketch show called Stupid. And I just created this character. I remember auditioning for this, and you know, there was nothing on the page. You just had the speech, and it was like, just do something with it. And I just decided to do that. And I did that in the audition, and that's what I did on the day. And then it became a big hit, and you know, lots of young people loved it. It started trending, and they repeated it about 4 times in the UK. And then as I got older, I tried to like distance myself. Like, I'm a serious actor, RSC, you know, National Theatre, BBC, and everyone keeps showing that video. I was like, I am proud of it. My niece and nephews thought I was, you know, Denzel Washington mixed in with a bit of Will Ferrell, you know. So I am proud of it. But every time it surprises me when it pops up because it's a popular video, but it's in the depths of YouTube. You have to really search for that video.
It reminds me of Cooking with Scorpion.
Oh my god.
It was an extra on Mortal Kombat Deadly Alliance. It's like 35 seconds long. Oh, look it up. It's wonderful, absurdist theater. That's what that reminds me of. Oh my god.
I need
the link.
We'll make sure you get the link.
I love the way that you show all the work I've done. That one, I'm like, oh yeah, okay, that one. No, it's all good.
That is what our lead host gave us for news and gossip.
Thank you, Television. Thank you very much. If I get cut from Arrow, you know why now, right? Yeah. They're like, why did we can't have that type of character?
What I want
really?
To see
I mean,
is
we had bees.
Oh yeah, true.
I want to see you guys get to either the season finale or the penultimate episode, and Ryder has a very tender emotional moment. Slow close up, like slow zoom in onto you, onto your eyes, and then it does it goes to flashbacks, and it just cuts to that.
Yeah.
And it lets the entire clip play unedited, zoom back, and then you go, and you just kill two of your guys.
You know what?
That works.
I think that works.
Yeah.
That's Greg, origin story. Mark, I might be dropping them an email tonight when I get home.
Like, guys, we're making the universe bigger.
Give them a concert idea today.
I had this character, and he's a chef,
and it's great. You know, maybe he could pop up in another show.
We are down to the wire. We're down to the wire. We got to do real quick predictions and then roll on out of here.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Extremely quick predictions. Start us off.
Oh wow! Predictions of what's
going to happen the rest of the season.
Okay, basically I know, and I can't tell you. But,
okay. I just wanted to put you on the spot there and see what you'd say. Thank you for playing along.
Well, as some of the chat was discussing in our brief, we mentioned Alex Swanson. I'd love to mention Parker Young again since he's so delightful. But yeah, a lot of people are speculating that maybe he works for Dark, and that you know maybe that scene with Evelyn had a little more to it.
Could be.
Yeah, because I've kind of always suspected he's evil, like all of Thea's boyfriends.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
From the DJ to everyone she's dated.
Yeah.
Tari? Exactly that.
I think that they're going to find a new way to beat Dark, even, but... Like,
John Constantine?
I think that, eventually we're going to find out Ruve has powers. And she is like an overlord or a kingpin.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Go.
Baron Ryder escapes to Earth 5 and becomes Batman.
Yeah.
But does he have to fight Zoom? We saw from the preview that we are beginning Genesis, whatever the heck that is, and that we are prepping John for something. So I'm going to go with full on human sacrifice because that seems to be the theme of this season. Although I don't think we're losing another cast member before the end of the season. I'm maybe staking my money on the wrong horse here, but
thanks to dimension hopping, we can lose the same one again.
That's true.
Every time Zoom conquers a new Earth. Anyway, thank you so much for joining us
tonight.
Thank you so much for having me,
and I look forward to being back.
Where can the people find you on social media?
Jimmy Akinbola, that's AKINGBOLA. That's my name on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Hit me up and keep watching. It's going to be an amazing finale. I don't know what happens. I think Baron Ryder turns up in real time and becomes a chef and a magician. And he hooks up with Merlin. That's what it is. Because it's all about the magic, man.
Best predictions. Lucretia, where can the people find you?
Again, if you can spell it, it's LACRETIALYON. And that's anywhere on the internet since there is only one.
You can find me at Tari J, TARIJAY.
And I am all over social media at the Lex Michael. Looking forward to the Baron Ryder Malcolm Merlin Evil Cooking Show.
And I am virtually everywhere at Kiaxet. That's KIAXET. I am on so many shows here, but the closest one is going to be Robots in Disguise on Sundays. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you, guys. Such a blast. Thank you so much.
Thank you to everyone who is watching. We will see you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.